Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back here with our exit interview today. We'll be talking with our sixth place finisher from Survivor 42, who went out of the game in epic fashion at an all-time tribal council last night. We're going to talk to Omer Zahir on our exit interview as we talk about the run that Omer had here in Survivor 42. Really looking forward to today's exit interview. We'll have Omer on with us in just a moment. And of course, then we'll be joined by Jordan Kalish for one last This Week in Survivor History segment for Survivor 42. If you missed it last night, of course, check out the Survivor Know-It-Alls with Stephen Fishback. Had a lot of fun breaking down that 3-2-2 vote today. I'm going to get the chance to talk to my very good friend. Adam Klein is going to join us, and I think that he will certainly have a lot to say about how this Final Five is shaking out, how he sees the game moving from here. Really looking forward to that podcast with Adam. And then we are doubly blessed because this is also the Mike Bloom Feedback Show Week. So get your questions in for a Mike Bloom type. Send them into robhasawebsite.com/voicemail. And then on the Survivor Academy this weekend, Mari Forth will join me to talk about the lessons that the future players could learn from this week, from Omer's game, and much more over on Survivor Academy. You can get that podcast at robhasawebsite.com/patron. Let's go ahead and bring in my interview with Omer, which, of course, you can check out as well on our YouTube channel at robhasawebsite.com/YouTube. Hey, Omer. Good morning. Rob Cesternino, how are you?
Good. Hi. Nice. So nice to meet you, Rob. I've been listening since the beginning, and now you're talking to a big, dumb idiot. So let's get to it.
Yes. Since the beginning of what? Since the beginning of the season?
Since Heroes versus Villains or Samoa, whichever one you started with.
All right. Well, okay.
My favorite interview of all time was Stacey Powell.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll talk more about that one day down the road. But Omer, what a pleasure it was to get to watch you play the game this season. I thought you had a masterful run. I'm shocked to be talking to you here today. You were a joy to watch in terms of your game and in the confessional. So all of the praise to you and the job you did here in Survivor 42.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. It's high praise from the king.
Okay. All right. Take it easy. All right. Omer, so could you just take us through your reaction to sort of processing what had happened to you, where it was Marianne, who you had been with since the beginning, who orchestrated your removal from the game?
Yeah, it was wild because, you know, what they didn't show is that Marianne and I formed our little Canada Goose Alliance. And I said we were going to migrate to the final three together from very early on. But I did say, I think very early when it was her, Mariah, it was like long term. Marianne's better short term. So I knew that Marianne was the type of player. She's very clearly a super fan that had the potential to do something like this to me. But as the game went on, you know, she wasn't getting a lot of traction as an outsider from the people on the in. And, you know, I saved her at the Lydia vote. And I think my own insecurities made me feel like I wasn't that big of a threat. So I was like, she won't see me as a bigger threat than Jonathan or Mike. So like, I think she would take me out, but not over them, but I was very wrong. And kudos to her because, you know, there was a point in time where she looked like she wasn't strategizing because she was like constipated. She was doubled over, not moving around, but she was using that, you know, as a cover, and she was doing a lot of strategizing when I wasn't around. So good for her. Like, I'm proud of her for what she did because, you know, it's the game and I would have done it if I were her too.
Yeah. Did you consider at all not giving Mike the idol back after you had taken it from him in the last episode?
I'm glad you asked because a lot of people were confused about why I did what I did, but I gave Mike the idol back because we had a very tight final three alliance with Lindsay from the Pizza Under the Stars reward. I just didn't fully trust Mike still because he was withholding his information about the idol and stuff like that for a little bit longer than I think he should have. And, you know, our plan of Pizza Under the Stars was, hi, Jonathan, Drea. But then when it came to voting out Jonathan, Mr. Mike didn't want to do it. And I was like, okay, I don't believe a word you say anymore. But I thought if I could give him back the idol and then pull out this idol nullifier that he had no idea about. Okay. So I thought that I could get him out at five with a big move. And I wanted at that point in the game to know where the idol was because I had the nullifier.
Where did an idle nullifier come from, Omer?
So after the fish reward in episode 4, there Jonathan was getting super annoyed with Lindsay and Marianne. He's like, let's go for a walk. And I was like, okay. And then we walked to the water well, and there was an advantage sitting right by the water well. And I've never moved faster than Jonathan in my life, except for that moment. And then it was an idle nullifier. We decided to keep it a secret from the girls. But when he found out I told Lindsay, that's really the domino that set the blind side in motion, because he told Mike, Mike turned on me, and Marianne turned on me. And it was just, you know, they had their pitchforks coming for me.
Was there only an idle nullifier for you, for your group, because you had won the reward, or did all of the tribes potentially have an idle nullifier at their camp?
That was my understanding, that it was for the reward. But, you know, I did wonder if there were ones at other camps, but I think it was for the reward.
Okay. All right. Big curveball here from that. Dropped a bomb here on us. A live tribal. Okay.
Yeah, live tribal. It made me into Gollum, truly. Like, mm-hmm. That was my ring.
Okay. So we know Lindsay had the amulet idol that she could have played to save you. Yes. Did you? Were you pushing for her to use it to keep you safe?
Yes. So after that challenge, you saw part of our conversation on the beach, and I asked Lindsay, I was like, you know, it's the last time to play it. I think you should just play it on me, because why not? You know, there's no reason not to necessarily. But on the rules of the advantage, it says it's non-transferable. So if she were to use it on me, she would have to use it. Whereas I wanted her to just give it to me to use myself. But she said, if I make that big of a move in front of the whole group, then they're going to know that we're really tight and we had tried to be covert for so long. And so I think the worry was, you know, we probably got ahead of ourselves of like, oh, we'll put ourselves as a duo in the final five, three people can turn on us and we're done, when maybe we should have just been more proactive and done it anyway. And my whole game was not to be pushy. So I didn't want to be like, you should definitely do that, because I felt like we could lose trust with each other. So, and I didn't think that I was in that much danger to do that. So I didn't push it.
Why did you feel like the perception of you changed so much after Drea went out of the game? I mean, from what we saw, Drea said, okay, Omer, you were the only one that knew my secret. Why did that blow up your game so much?
I actually think that the thing that really, I think there's three people that kind of independently decided to go after me at the same time. I think the first two people to decide to go after me were, well, the first person was Jonathan, when he found out that I told Lindsay about the nullifier, which was right. Mm-hmm. Which was in response to Drea telling me about knowledge is power, because I wanted to work through all the scenarios of what we should do. And Jonathan was very astute to see that Lindsay and I had a conversation that maybe was longer than he would have liked. So he interrogated both of us separately. And I'm an idiot, because I saw him take her side and I knew our stories were not going to match. And my own insecurity in life is avoidance. Like, I avoid conflict. And I purposely did not. I was like, I'm just going to hope that's okay and not worry about it. But if I had cross-checked the story, I would have known that he knew that we lied to him and he wasn't on board. But when he found that out, he told Mike, and then Mike turned on me at that point. And that all happened before the reveal of what I did. And then Marianne, I think part of the reveal, plus seeing me physically give the idol back to Mike, because as soon as we got back to camp, Mike's like, I need the idol. Mm-hmm. And I was like, can you just chill for a sec? But I know I had to give him back there. And she saw that and it was over.
What would have happened if you just did not act on the information that Drea had revealed to you about having knowledge is power?
I think in hindsight, you know, there was not a lot of time to figure out what to do when she told me. My first inclination was actually to keep her, and that's what Jonathan and I decided to do. But then Lindsay and Mike's relationship was closer, so she convinced me to kind of go the other way. But I think in hindsight, what I should have done was let her take the idol, but nullify her out of the game at that point. Mm-hmm. Because I had it with me. I just wanted to save it for five because I didn't want to be a threat so early, but it was too fancy. Like, I really got focused on final five. That's my play, to let them know that I'm playing, because I thought that people would not know what I was doing because I was kind of covert. But it was too much. I lost flexibility, and that was the whole part of my game. And so I have no one to blame but myself.
Yeah. One of the things that we had heard in the exit interviews the last couple of weeks was that you and High and Drea were a thing and were working together. Yeah. How real was that in your mind? And why did you ultimately decide not to go with that group?
Yeah, I think, you know, the queen herself, Kim Spradlin, said you want options in the game.
You had them.
So we got into, sorry?
You had them.
Oh, yeah, I did have them. So I got into the merge, and like, my whole plan was like, I'm I have to be the mother hen to the Taku chicks because they're like trying to kill themselves on the road by running onto the road. I'm trying to herd them together because they're all like kind of bickering and stuff like that. And so Taku was my loyalty going into the merge, but Hai and I bonded very closely on our love for animals. And I will say that I really considered going with that, but my goal was to like keep both options in the game as long as possible. But kind of as the merge started to play out, it was very clear that I had more control of Taku and Hai was kind of running his own game. It started to get to the point where he would just kind of sit me down and tell me what to do. His plan was Drea, him and I as the final three, Mike is number four. And like, you're setting it up for you, not for me per se. And then at one point he brought in Marianne as number five and then just told me about it. He's like, oh, by the way, we have a fifth now. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. So I just felt like I had less control moving in that direction. Drea and I felt like our final three with Hai was more through Hai. Like he was kind of the middleman and we didn't have a lot of individual conversations strategically, at least. And it was kind of interesting because I felt that she gave up too much information in some ways, but in other ways really did not make me feel secure as an ally. So I was like, other people I feel will take me to the end. So I'll go with them.
And then how much was the Taku 4 an actual thing that we saw? Because we see that, you know, four of you made it to the final six and it really wasn't clear just how much of the group was working together or there were just other targets.
It was very intentional, I would say. I think that, you know, there was some conflict between, there was times when there were people got a bit squirrely, like right at the merge. I didn't even want Roxware to flip back time because I was like, I'm safe and my three people are safe. But when he did, I was like, shoot, like I'm the only safe one and the three of them are really under a magnifying glass. And I think in that stressful moment, they kind of started to turn on each other. But I was like, no, Mother Hen says no, you're going to stick together. We're going to make it, Lydia. And that's it. And going into the merge, our plan was that we had bonded so much in that week. You know, I think losing Jackson and Mariah very quickly really supercharged our bond. And so we were like, we're going to not talk to each other for like the first few days. We just spread our tentacles out. We were all in different conversations. We would check in for 2 or 3 minutes here or there so that nobody would really know we were working together. And, you know, by the time, and I was okay with anyone going that wasn't those four. So when it's Chanel or Romeo, I was like, I don't really care, like whatever. Mm-hmm. And then it was kind of funny because by the time we got to this point, people were like, oh, isn't it weird that all four of you are still here? And I was like, yeah, it's so weird. Like, what a coincidence.
You talked about, you know, a bunch of different groups that you were working with, but in your mind, what was the final three going to be for you if everything had gone according to plan? Lindsay and who else?
I think that for me, I was not really set on any particular plan, which was maybe part of the problem for me. I think I should have been more just locked in on making something happen instead of being so whatever, I would say. But my plan at that point was to kind of go to the final four with Lindsay, Marianne, and Romeo. And I, you know, had a lot of personal loyalty to Lindsay and Marianne because we were so close throughout the whole game that I was like, I think if I can get to four and just let it play out the way it will, then, you know, if Lindsay or Marianne go out there, that's fine. And I felt like I was in a situation where if I could make it that far, I would win if I made it to the end. And if I didn't win, it was because I probably wouldn't have won against anyone. And so then I would like be okay with them winning, I guess, was my thought.
We haven't talked at all about Romeo in all of this. Is Romeo a bigger factor in what's going on than we're being led to believe in the episodes?
I mean, I think it's hard for me to say for sure because we all have our own perceptions. And, you know, even watching Romeo's confessionals, he's clearly thinking a lot more than maybe people were giving him credit for. So I would say that he's probably misunderstood in some ways. I think in the moment, it felt very much like he wasn't doing that much. I think early on in the merge, he was very paranoid and I would try to calm him down as much as I could. But I think a lot of people did disregard him very early and I didn't want to do that. Like I to be like nice to him. And that worked for a while because he was quite loyal to me. And even they didn't really show it last night, but he really did not want to vote me out and had to like basically be like forced to do it. So it was, you know, he and I had a good relationship game wise. I felt like he had a hard time opening up as a person. And so it was hard to really understand who he was because he was very guarded in that sense. But I think that the portrayal is fairly accurate from what I've seen.
So you had this amazing strategic run in the season, but then you capped it off in your final episode last night with a challenge victory. how meaningful was that for you to win a challenge before you were out of the game?
Yeah, I was never a challenge guy. Like, I was like, who cares about the challenges? But and part of it's like, I never thought I would win one. So actually to do something and be good at something you didn't expect to be good at, even earlier in the tribal challenges, like other than the one where I almost drowned, you know, I did do the puzzles and like helped succeed for our tribe. So it really felt good. And almost making all the baskets, like it was an unexpected journey for me that, you know, it really meant a lot that maybe it's not just about winning. Cause I had one thing on my bucket list and that was to win. That was it.
Okay.
But then to have these, it felt good.
And real quick, what was the reaction from your niece after seeing the episode last night? Did you tell her it was coming?
I didn't tell her it was coming. She was a little bit embarrassed, but also very happy with it. And then my other niece was a little bit jealous. But my little niece didn't even need that advice because she's fearless anyways. She does whatever and she doesn't need coaching. So,
Well, Omer, real quick, anything else you want to make sure people know?
I just had a great time. It was the best experience of my life.
I get that. Yeah.
So wonderful to have everybody be so supportive, basically. And you guys, you and Nicole should adopt a pigeon.
Adopt a pigeon? I didn't even know that was an option. Yeah. I didn't know you could keep them. Okay.
It's not an option. It's a requirement.
Okay. All right. Well, all right. We could talk more about that. Omer, really hoping that we get the chance to talk some more in the future. Yes. All the best to you outside of Survivor and congrats again on a really epic run here in this season.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Take care.
Bye. All right, everybody. There you have it. Omer Zaheer and great exit interview. By the way, Omer had a great setup for his Zoom background. I don't know if we're still tracking Zoom backgrounds here at this point in time, but just a really nice setup for the exit interview from Omer. Of course, the headline from all of Omer's exit press today is going to be the idol nullifier. I'm sure I will get into that more in the other podcast, but wild to think that the idol nullifier is back here in season 42. We didn't see it in the episodes. Ultimately it didn't matter, but it's wild to think that that's something that they brought back into the game. Also makes me wonder, was that potentially the secret advantage that Xander might have been able to find back in season 41? We didn't know what that was. We know that these two seasons are mirror reflections of one another. And so if there's an idol nullifier here, I know we didn't have the amulets in season 41, but maybe stands to reason that perhaps Xander might have had the idol nullifier if he found that secret advantage. But much more on that coming up in our other podcast, and really looking forward to talking more with Omer at the end of the season. We've got Jordan Kalish on deck, and we'll talk about this week in Survivor history with him here in a moment. But before we get to that, I want to take a moment and put a spotlight on the woman who's at the center of everything right now, who is uniquely positioned to potentially go on and win Survivor 42. And that would be no one other than Marianne. Now, this segment is brought to you by Hyundai. And I want to take a moment to highlight this unique path to the final five that Marianne has taken this season. Marianne has always been presented to us as a bit of an outsider in the Taku tribe. From the moment that the season began, she talked about how she was doing it for the weirdos, the people who didn't always fit in. And that has certainly been her story as she has overcome many obstacles throughout the season. In the very first episode of the season, we saw her go to Shipwheel Island, where she made the bold move to risk her vote and pick up the extra vote, which we saw ultimately do in Omer in this week's episode. And while she was a little bit presented to us as being on the outside of Taku, potentially as the person who could have gone home over Mariah, who was seen as more of just a loyal vote for Taku, Marianne was able to find her way into a position where the Taku 4 was feeling really strong about the group. Marianne also continued to look for advantages at every turn. We saw her find an idol as well in the pre-merge game, which she actually told the whole tribe about and used to strengthen her position from coming with them and saying, like, I got everybody's backs with this idol and we're going to be able to use this advantage. So she came into the merge with not one, but two advantages in the game, However, due to Roxroy breaking the hourglass, she had another obstacle to overcome in that she was one of the people who was vulnerable in that vote at the merge. Now, we saw Omer go to work and ultimately get the vote switched to Lydia, even though there were other members of the Taku tribe, like Jonathan, who was potentially ready to throw Marianne overboard. But because of her strength of the social relationship she had with Omer, that Omer went and did the work to get the vote switched to Lydia. And Marianne was steadfast and did not play her idol in that night. And it was for a good reason, because ultimately Marianne is going to play her idol in a much more important fashion, which ultimately does help keep her safe at the vote where her and Drea made the big stand, where Jonathan came up with the plan to target Drea at that tribal council. Marianne and Drea both play their idols that night, and Marianne continues to look for advantages, even when, that as Omer told us in this exit interview, that people were not always paying attention to what she was doing. She's able to go out there, find another advantage, this idol, which might be a key piece of how she's able to overcome a final obstacle next week at the final five. This time, Marianne doesn't tell anybody about this advantage that she found. Three big power players end up going back, where at first High, then Drea, and then ultimately, she is the person who really puts the wheels into motion to be able to take Omer, her biggest threat, the person who has the best chance to win from the Taku Four, taking him out of the game and putting herself into a really great position where people can finally recognize all of the work that Marianne has put into the first 23 days of the game. We will see the culmination of that journey on Survivor in next Wednesday's finale, and whether or not Marianne is able to go the distance. Every journey is different, especially when it comes to Survivor. Of course, you could learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. All right, let's go ahead now and bring in a man who is always on an exciting journey through the past annals of Survivor history. Please welcome in Mr. Jordan Kalish. Jordan, how are you?
Doing great, Rob. It's the season finale of Twitch.
The season finale of Twitch. And so very happy to be wrapping up another season with you. I wouldn't necessarily say that I'm happy that it's over, but I'm, of course, always thrilled to talk to you every Thursday.
We went on the journey together, Rob. We went up the hill.
Up the hill, yes.
Down the hill. We found our
it was never our awkward like Roxroy and Lydia. Remember them?
I do remember them. That was a long time ago. No, it would never be like that. We both protected our votes. No penalties here for either of us. We're doing great.
All right, Jordan, should we play some This Week in Survivor History trivia?
I think we should. I think that's why I'm here. So let's do it, Rob. As we said, it's our season finale, is going to be the last Twitch of the season. Even though this is going to be, this is here in the penultimate episode of Survivor 42, we are going to be talking about some of the season finales that occurred this week in Survivor history. More specifically, some of the final votes that we had at the final tribal councils, many of which happened this week in Survivor history in the third week of May. So here's the game, Rob.
Okay.
I have 10 people who have made the final tribal council. Some of them are winners. Some of them are not winners. And here's the catch. There are 10 of them. You have to place each one of them under the amount of jury votes they received on the season that I specify. So there, we're going to go all the way up from 0 to 9. One of these people got 0 votes, 1, 2, 3, 4, and so on, all the way to 9 votes. You have to place these people under their correct vote totals. Once you lock it in, I will tell you if you are correct, or I will tell you how many you have correct. And in order to win the game, you have to do it in 2 chances.
Okay.
Right? So we have 10 people, 10 different vote totals, and you have to lock them in. I think you're going to do well in this game. It's a lot of people, but I think we're good. Some of these people have made the final tribal council more than once. That's why I will specify the seasons that we are talking about. So here are your 10. We have Aris from Exile Island. We have Aubrey from Koh Rong. And I'm telling you these in alphabetical order. We have Chris Underwood from The Edge of Extinction.
Hold on. Let me just, I got to write these down. Okay.
Sure.
So
we have Aris, Aubrey, and Chris Underwood.
Aubrey in season 32. Chris 30, yep. in 38.
Yep. We have JT in Token Chains.
Okay.
We have Mama C from Worlds Apart.
Okay.
We have Parvati from Heroes versus Villains, Parvati.
Okay.
We have Fishback from Token Chains. We have Tom Westman from Palau.
Okay.
We have Tony Vachos from Cagayan. another person who's been to the final tribal council more than once, and then Vesepia from the Marquesa.
Okay. So, all right. Let's start from the bottom.
Okay.
Okay.
Who's last the zero night, vote finalist?
Last night, I spoke to this man. Steven has got to be zero vote finalist.
So we have Steven in the zero spot. And before we, I'll let you talk it out before we lock anything in.
Sure.
But we're going to have Steven in the zero spot fight. Can't remember a vote that he got from the Token Change Jury.
Okay. Who got one? If I'm looking at this list, well, all these other people are winners, it looks like, except for Aubrey. So I think that Mama C might have gotten, did she get one or two? So I think she might have got one. Aubrey, I think, did Aubrey get two? Let's see. I know she got Nick. Did she get a second vote there? Maybe Joe Del Campo probably gave Aubrey a vote. So I think Aubrey is probably the two. I got to think about who the three is there. Then maybe Parvati is the three. Okay. So let's do Mama C got one vote, which I believe was from Sierra Dawn Thomas. Then we have where Aubrey got the two. So I'll say Aubrey got Nick and Joe Del Campo. Then I'll say Parvati got the three against Sandra, which I believe she got the other villains that she got Coach and Danielle and Jerry. Oh, okay. Not sure. So then we have who got four votes and won. Okay.
Winners remaining now on this
right.
list of the people that you
I think it was Vesepia. Vesepia, I think, won 4-3. Okay. Where I think she got John, Tammy, Zoe, the general? Was it the Road 2-4 that she got? Okay. Sean voted for Vesepia. One of them, maybe Zoe didn't. Okay. Five. Who got five votes? Let's see. Pretty sure Tom got 6 out of 7. Did Aris get five? Let's see. JT, JT, I think got, was it 7 for JT? Tony got 8. Chris got 9. So, okay, let's just go by backwards. I think Chris got nine. Maybe Tony got 8. And then 7 would have been, let's see, we have Aris. Is this interesting for anybody? Aris, JT, and then Tom. Okay, so 7 is JT. 6 is Tom. 5 is Adas. Okay, so
Adas at Adas Music on
okay. All right, let me lock this in. Okay, here's my order.
All right.
Zero yes. votes for Stephen. One vote for yes. Mama C. Yeah, baby. Two votes for Aubrey. Three votes for Parv. Four votes for Vesepia. Five votes for Adas. 6 votes for Tom. 7 votes for JT. 8 votes for Tony. 9 votes for Chris Underwood, and a partridge in a pear tree.
All right, so we are locking it in. I will say that you did, you said a lot of things during that round. You talked about people who may have gotten certain votes. You seem to be a little bit mixed up with some of them in like the RS Tom JT category. But I could say, Rob, you are 100% correct. You are a winner of the game. That is the correct order. All the way from Fishback in the doldrums to Chris Underwood, all the way at the top greatest Survivor player ever, mm-hmm. because he received second best to Tony for the second most jury votes.
Yeah.
I guess when you have the
other people got 10.
That's true. Yeah, I know you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
People have gotten 10.
Jeremy got 10.
Also, Chris Underwood's not the second best survivor player.
Cochran got 10. Yeah. 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 A few people have gotten 10.
Earl was, I believe, a 9-0-0. Mm-hmm. Which is weird to do a 9-person jury when there's a final three, but it didn't really matter in that season.
Yeah.
All right. So good job. You win the game. And as always, Rob, we have one more game for you. And this is going to be the verbal Rebus puzzle. Last one of the season. I can't believe it, Rob. We've done so many of them. We've covered so many great people who have been voted out this week in Survivor history. And we have another player who was voted out this week in Survivor history here. And let's try to figure out who it is.
Okay.
Here's the verbal Rebus. We're going to start out with the last name of Guatemala's magician's assistant. Minus the last name of Guatemala's magician's assistant. Minus the first syllable of the player who was the first casualty of forced fire making at the final four.
Okay. The first
syllable of the, it's going to be the first name of the player who was the first casualty of forced fire making at the final four. A lot of alliteration there.
The first syllable of the first name of the first person who was in the first
forced fire making. So that would be the season that guaranteed there was no vote, guaranteed that fire making would be the way to eliminate someone at the final four. At the final four, yes. So there have been many final four fire making challenges, but this is the first one that eliminated the final four votes and guaranteed that somebody would be taken up by fire.
Is this the first time there was fire making at the final four, or the first time that we had that twist?
First time we had the twist. So
okay. Well, that's because that's a different part. Very different thing. Okay.
Yes. Completely different. Yes. That's why I said forced fire making.
Okay.
Minus the last syllable of the last name of Panama's fire dancer.
Okay. Minus
The last syllable of the last name of Panama's fire dancer.
Okay.
Hold me closer, fire dancer.
Okay.
Plus the last name of David versus Goliath's. Let me say it again. Plus the last name of David versus Goliath's final four fire making loser.
The last name of
David versus Goliath's final four fire making loser.
Okay. Plus, this is a plus. This is plus.
Yes. We're plus. You're nonplussed. Plus the first word of Survivor Exile Island's boring tribe. There's a tribe that you have always considered a boring tribe. And it is the first word of that tribe.
Yeah.
Plus the only blood versus water player to be on the second chances ballot, but not make it on to season 31.
The only
blood versus water player, and this is the original season 27 blood versus water player, to be on the second chances ballot but not make it to season 31.
Okay.
Plus the girl who looked pretty badass in her ski hat.
Just go back to what that last clue. What part of the name was it?
It was the it's the only blood versus water. Hold on, my phone's ringing. The only blood versus water player to be on the second chances ballot, but not make it onto season 31. It's going to be a first name. So it's a first name unless I specify.
Got it. Okay.
Plus the girl who looked pretty badass in her ski hat.
Okay.
Minus the first syllable of Guatemala's yellow tribe.
Okay.
We are finished. That is everything.
Okay.
Long way to get there.
We really took the scenic way to get there.
Yes. Let's take it and I'll explain why.
All right. You want me to give the answer first and then we can explain how we got there?
Sure. Who'd you get?
Michaela Bradshaw.
Okay. Michaela Bradshaw did get voted out this week in Survivor history. She is the answer to this verbal Rebus. She was voted out.
Why on earth?
4-2-1 vote. I know what you're going to say.
Why did we go through Morgan McDevitt minus
I don't want to keep using feckless Mick trimming every time there's a Mick in somebody's name, Rob. I also wanted to end and start on Guatemala for the last verbal Rebus.
Oh,
that's
my
the real
God.
Reason. But yes. Okay. So the last name of Guatemala's magician's assistant, you just said, is McDevitt. Everyone remembers Morgan McDevitt from Survivor Guatemala, mm-hmm. minus the first syllable of the player who was the first mm-hmm. casualty of forest yeah. fire making at the final.
I mean, you really could have just done, this is season 23 South Pacific's Delilah, according to Brandon Hance.
That is true, but then I would be giving you the full first name, which is not how a verbal rebus works. She just happens to share a name with Michaela Ringel. I wanted to put it in a wrinkle, not a ringle, Rob.
I believe it's. I don't think that her last name is Ringel.
What is it, Michaela? I think it is Ringel.
I don't think it. I think it's a W.
I think it's a soft W.
Wing. Soft W,
or like a silent W. I gotta look this up. Survivor. I'm Googling Survivor South Pacific. What is Michaela's last name? It is
Wingle.
Wingle. Okay, I made up the R. There's no R. It's a hard.
It's a very soft W.
Yeah. Yes, it's not a silent W. Michaela Wingle. Sam is saying in mm-hmm. the chat. Thank you, Sam.
Yes.
Okay. So whatever. Either way, I could have used it to get Michaela.
I thought we weren't trying to exceed the length of the exit interview with these things.
We're trying to exceed, baby, the length of the exit interview on these things. it's the season finale, Rob. Survivor gets to do a 3-hour season finale. They triple their
runtime. What do you have, senioritis? Are you ready for summer break already?
I mean, I am ready for summer break. I don't know if I have senioritis. But anyway, the last player, let's talk about this. The first syllable, the last player, who was the first casualty of forced fire making, that was who?
Where are we? Devin?
Devin Pinto. So yeah. The first syllable is Dev minus the last syllable of the last name of Panama's fire dancer. That is Courtney. What's her last name?
Merritt.
Merritt. So minus it plus the last name of David versus Goliath's final four fire making loser. Who do we have?
Kara K.
Kara K. So we have the K. The first word of Survivor Exile Island's boring tribe. You have mentioned this many
Lamina.
Times. Lamina. So La. The only blood versus water player to be on the second chances ballot, but not make it onto season 31.
Brad Culpepper.
Brad. Yeah. So yeah, we have Brad. A few Brad Culpepper, plus the girl who looked pretty badass in her ski hat.
Shauna
played Survivor on your season, minus the first syllable of Guatemala's Yellow Tribe.
What's I can't
tribe,
even pronounce Rob? It. What is it?
Nakum. So it's Shauna minus Na. So we have McDevitt minus Dev minus it plus K plus Law plus Brad plus Shauna minus Na. Michaela Bradshaw, baby. We did it.
Jordan, where can people keep up with you all summer long?
I don't know if they want to now, but it's it's at Jordan Kalish on Twitter. I would say the summer is probably my like Twitter.
Are you going to camp this summer?
I am. Yeah, I'm gonna be up in upstate New York again.
How many years straight is it for you, summer camp?
Straight only two. I took a bunch of years off, and then I went back. I made the great return. Everyone was very excited.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone.
Oh my goodness gracious!
Yeah,
it's Jordan Kalish. She's back in the camp owner's box.
Roger Clemens is going to be a New York Yankee again. I didn't know we were getting Susan on here. It's good to get Susan. That's Twitch Susan. We did it all season. Kalish is back at camp. Of all the dramatic things, Rob. Only two people.
Who is this Brian for?
Ryan Cullen, MJC, Tommy Guam. I think that's maybe about it. I'm sure mm-hmm. there's other people. There's other Yankee fans who are listening to this. But yeah, I am sort of like the Roger Clemens of this podcast.
Exactly like the Roger Clemens.
There's a lot of great moments, and then we're gonna test you for
PED after this is over.
Yeah, I might throw a bat at Mike Piazza if you're not careful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right, yeah, Jordan.
No, Sam Moore's a Yankee fan, but I don't know if he's getting the Susan Waldman references.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She'd be a good podcast. You know, I got a cameo from her once for my birthday, my 30th birthday.
Yeah, how was that?
It was pretty dramatic. She sang Happy Birthday. She's a very good singer. I've heard her sing the national anthem at Yankee Stadium.
Okay. All right, Jordan, great work all season long, okay?
Thanks, Rob.
Okay, all right, we'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you next season. Bye.
All right, everybody, there you have it. Jordan Kalish. Thank you, Jordan, for all of the great work here this season, going back to coming up with all the verbal rebus puzzles and then all of the games that we played talking about this week in Survivor history. Lots more to come from me and, of course, from our stable of RHAP Survivor podcasters this weekend. You can catch all of the shows when you subscribe at robhasawebsite.com/survivor feed. We appreciate your feedback and your star ratings as well. Plus, I will be back talking about the finale of Beyond the Edge with Jenny Autumn coming up later tonight. You don't want to miss that. For all of the edgers out there, we will be back talking about the finale, the exciting conclusion, or the conclusion of Beyond the Edge. Thank you so much for listening. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.